County's Bicentennial Committee presents the Bicentennial Journal, stories celebrating the rich history of Monroe County.
This is my Monroe County story. I'm Bob Hamill. Black soldiers fought and died for the Union Army in the Civil War, for the Allied Army in World Wars I and II, but when the last of the fighting ended in Japan in 1945, their race couldn't play the game of college basketball back home at Indiana or Purdue or anywhere else in the Big Ten or any major conference in the United States. There was, you see, this unwritten but universally observed, quote, gentleman's agreement, unquote, that these bastions of higher education would not subject their athletes to playing basketball against, you know the term. The president of one of those participating universities said in a letter he understood such a ban, quote, in a game where there is such close physical contact between players scantily clad and perspiring at every pore, unquote. It was an agreement, an abomination that had stood in the northern Midwest, well above the Mason-Dixon line, forever, but explicitly for more than 20 years. The Rosa Parks moment, when that ended, came in Bloomington in the fall of 1947 when Bill Garrett agreed to enroll at IU. And for sure, on December 4th, 1948, when undersized but jet-quick 6'2 center William Leon Garrett went onto the court for the game-opening tip in IU's season opener against DePauw. Oh, the agreement didn't end that day. In baseball, Jackie Robinson had to go it alone for just half a season before Larry Doby had integrated the American League and other national leagues had found room on their roster for a black player or two. Not so in college basketball. The Big Ten and major college basketball waited and watched. Bill Garrett played three full seasons at IU, left as a popular campus favorite with the school's scoring record and a diploma, and never played with or against another black player. After he had run that gauntlet without the first hint of a problem, some other Big Ten schools found room on the roster for one or two. IU added its second. And around the country, the Garrett breakthrough prompted other conferences to open, or in the case of the Pacific Coast, where Jackie Robinson himself had been a basketball star at UCLA before even that league stopped recruiting blacks, reopened their doors. Bill Garrett had led Shelbyville to what still is its only state high school basketball championship in 1947. He broke the tournament scoring record. He was named Mr. Basketball. But a similarly gifted, similarly sized center named Jumpin' Johnny Wilson had done the same thing for Anderson just a year before, and there were no scholarship offers. That was the last straw for black leaders in Indianapolis. Openly, they put pressure on IU to end that, quote, gentleman's agreement, unquote. And just as certainly, that pressure went on Purdue, and from black leaders in Detroit and Chicago and Cleveland and other municipalities across the Midwest on their own Big Ten schools. IU President Herman Wells was the one who listened, and with Bill Garrett, through Branch McCracken, made it happen. Those black leaders, Wells, McCracken, and the white faces in three archived team pictures where Bill Garrett's smile and skin color jump out, were the supporting actors in this epical story. But Bill Garrett was the star. Bill Garrett was the one who walked that four-year path alone, and at the end of it all, had opened the doors to African-American players forever. To the everlasting enrichment of IU basketball and Big Ten basketball and college basketball and all the rest of us. That's why, on the lawn outside the old fieldhouse, the 7th Street barn that was IU's basketball home from 1930 to 1960, there's a state historical marker proclaiming that here is where true history was made December 4th, 1948. It's a moment that deserves annual observance, and not just in Bloomington.
Join us next week for another edition of the Monroe County Bicentennial Journal.